Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay, we are going to read first 9 verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and through obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Now you can see the Peter's boldness, and he is trying to give the message. This is the letter, but we say book because it's in our 66 books, which we call the Bible. It's in the book. Now, each and every time any biblical scholars reading these 66 books and author, they always criticize. They always say maybe Peter was not the author or somebody was author, even though their name is written in there. But I don't care who says what. I know God inspired Peter to write these letters to encourage the people in that particular time as well as today.
Yeah.
This letter speaks to your heart when you working for the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are born again child of God, and when you read the Peter's first and second letter, you get a lot of encouragement to yourself. You are not alone. Many people before you, they suffer for Jesus Christ. And now it is our time. And the word of God is saying, let's read verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Now he is trying to say to the believers, what had happened to you? What God has done, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. What he's trying to say, when you have a problem, you lost your peace when you have trouble, let me tell you what God has done. He has chosen you before even the foundation of the world. He has called you with a definite high calling. He has sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. He has shed his blood and cleansed you or washed you with his precious blood. He has given you his own spirit, the spirit of Christ and spirit of God. So he says, now everything this happened because of grace of God. Jesus Christ left the heavenly kingdom and came down looking for you and for me. We were lost, but Jesus Christ came, died on the cross of Calvary, and saved us. Read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
See what he's trying to say? He had chosen us before the foundation of the world. So once the trials and tribulations and problem comes, you said, hey, God has a plan for you. God had chosen you before he laid the foundation of the world. That means you were in the heart of God. God was thinking about you. God had the plan for you. And now that plan is revealed in Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved.
So what the Word of God is saying, God had chosen us, He has sanctified us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and this is all because of grace of God. So we have to know we are belong to God. No power in the world can destroy us when we have the hedge of protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now somebody will say there are people dying in Africa and some parts of the India or China or Pakistan or some other people, Christians are dying. Some of them dying because they just took the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe they are namely Christians and do not know what the Christianity is all about. What is the power of God is all about. Once you know the secret that you are belong to Jesus Christ and no one has power to destroy you until God says yes. You know, when your time has come, nobody can save you. But God is not going to allow His children to die like a flies or mosquitoes. Because God will use before they can be killed mightily for the glory of God. Think about Stephen. Stephen was a man of God. In the early church, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They tried to stone him to death. Did he cry and say, "Oh, please don't hit me. I'm going to deny Jesus Christ. Don't do it this again. I made a mistake." Did he do that? No. He kept on praising God and he said, "Now I see the heaven open. And the Son of God is standing at the right hand of God. Right hand of Father." And what he said, "I see this. My eyes is open to heaven." Ordinarily, you cannot see anything, maybe 200 miles or 100 miles, you cannot see anything. But our God is sitting on the throne, million and trillion and trillions of miles, and nobody knows how far it is. But you could see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Jesus was welcoming him, "Come home." Amen. Well done. So what I'm trying to say, if people are dying like that, Jesus Christ will not allow you to die like that without doing anything for Jesus Christ. But if you just namely Christian, became Christian to get an education or became Christian to get some food or became Christian to get some kind of things, you will die like flies. And you might go to hell because you didn't know the truth. Just knowing the name of Jesus Christ, it's not going to change you anything. True. You have to transform your heart. Amen. You have to transform your life. Just like Peter, I told you, he was with Jesus for 3.5 years. And when the trial came, he denied him three times. Just think that somebody would have killed Peter at that particular time. Peter would have gone to hell. Yes, sir. But God was gracious to him. He gave him a second chance. So now he's with God. So the point I'm making, we are blessed. That's why St. Peter is trying to tell us. Let's read the verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3.
"Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When somebody reads this, especially the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know what they're going to say? "See, your God, you call Jesus God, but He has a God and He has a Father. So He is not bigger than God and bigger than Father. So He is a smaller than God." That's what they will tell you.
Yes.
You tell them, do you know the Bible? Go to the book of Hebrews and read what God says about Jesus. He says to Jesus Christ, He says, "Oh Lord, yes. Oh God." Yes. And so, like Father says to Son God, the Son says to Father God.
Amen. Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We worship the triune God.
Amen. Amen.
God is not bigger than Jesus, and Jesus is not bigger than God. They are equal. But when God the Father, God the Son, they are from the beginning. So there is nothing to be ashamed to call God Father. And so, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope. When you say begotten us again, what does it mean? That means something had happened before. When God created Adam, yes, He breathed on him His own spirit. Amen. And the word of God said the man became living soul. The man was in the presence of God, but the day he committed sin, he died spiritually. The same way, each and every person who is born into this world today, they are spiritually dead. You remember one man came and followed Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I want to follow you. But I have a problem. I want to bury my dad. Then I follow you. Somebody would say, his father was dead. If his father was really dead, you know what he would have done? He would have said, Jesus, please come and raise my dad. Amen. But his father was not really dead. This man was finding excuse to go home. And if his father was in 70s or 60s, he would say, maybe in those days, those people, you know, died earlier. And he would have said, well, I have 10 or 20 years more. Let me take care of my business and my dad. And when he dies, I bury him and I'll follow you. What Jesus says, let the dead bury dead. You follow me. So actually, if the person is dead, if that person is able to bury another dead person, no. What Jesus Christ was saying, they are spiritually dead people. They are already there. They will take care of your father. If you want to follow, follow me now. Don't delay when Jesus Christ calls you.
Amen.
People say, well, I have this thing to do, I have that thing to do, and then I'll take care of this and take care of that, and then I have nothing to worry, and then I'll follow. That day will never come. You will always have some excuse. Do you know that blind man was calling Jesus of Nazareth, please have mercy on me? And everybody's rushing and nobody wants that man to talk about it. He said, keep quiet. And he kept on shouting. And Jesus stood and said, bring him here. Now the blind man had the bag and the money holding pot and everything. And the stick and everything. The word of God says he left everything. All the dirty, raggedy clothes and everything, and he ran to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we have to do.
Yes,
when Jesus calls, don't say, I want to take this and take that. The word of God says, give up everything what is pulling you down. Amen. And run for your race, looking unto Jesus. That's what we have to do. So the word of God is saying, God has begotten us again. That means we were dead. Spiritually dead, but now we are alive in Jesus Christ. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, we were dead,
yes,
in our sins, but Jesus Christ quickened us, given us new life. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he didn't understand anything. Jesus has to explain to him. That is in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. We don't have to read this now. But what I'm trying to say, but the Peter says now, God has begotten us again. How? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what he's trying to say, how we got that living hope? We got it through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because he died and he rose again. And that's the power of resurrection. You know Jesus Christ, what he said? He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So if you want to live eternally, you need Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus gives you eternal life because he is risen. And that's the message we have for the whole world.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is risen, and that resurrection power gives me new life and living hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Without Jesus, the people are hopeless, depressed, having problems, dying without God and without Christ. But when Jesus comes in your life, we are alive.
Amen.
We are born again. We are new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you can read this. So what I'm trying to say, Peter is saying, God has given us lively hope. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Now when you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and I'll come back to this.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
So what Peter is saying, God has done some favor for you. He says he has given you incorruptible, undefiled, and not fading it away, that kind of inheritance God has received you in heaven. And that's what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. God has called us by his mercy, by his love. We were sinners. We were going to die and go to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, he saved you and saved me. And the verse 6 we read in Ephesians chapter 2, he has lifted us up. Where? In heavenly places. And we are sitting beside Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That doesn't happen automatically. That happens because when you live in Jesus Christ, when you live, he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you read it. It says, he has created us in Christ Jesus to do good things. We cannot do good things without Jesus Christ.
True.
We do all filthy things without Christ. But if you want to live a clean and holy life, you want to do something good for Jesus Christ, or for God, or for anybody, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have drinking problem, if you have smoking problem, if you have fighting problem, if you have any problem, come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I give up. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say, I give up. I want to be in Jesus Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is changed. He gives you supernatural power to say no to sin and to live a victorious life. That happens because of Jesus Christ. Read verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Okay, now he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Now somebody will say, we are already saved. What is he talking about? He said, there is another salvation ready to be revealed. What kind of salvation we are looking for? See, God's plan is this. He wants to save your soul, your spirit, and your body. God is working on your whole being. That's the plan of God. There are people who will be teaching you, there's a false teaching. They will say, my spirit is saved, but my body is not. So I'm committing sin in my body because I don't have victory over my sins. But the word of God says, if you're born again, child of God, your spirit is already saved. Your soul is already saved. And we are working towards our resurrection. When Jesus Christ is coming, and he is going to change this body unto like his body. We will have the glorious body, and how much time it will take? With the twinkling of an eye, we are going to transform. But as long as we live in this world, book of Romans chapter 12, and please read two verses. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. So it's not going to happen automatically, like it says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. People are saying, you know, once you are born again, God keeps you and with his power in heaven, and nothing is going to happen. You are saved once, saved forever. Doesn't work that way. Once you are born again, you have to live in Christ Jesus. You have to change your mind. You have to change your heart. You have to change your walk. And then you will be completely transformed. And then you know what God's will is for you. This is the way we are going to live, one day by day, following the steps of Jesus Christ, not looking left or right, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And he is coming. He promised that he will come. And as he says, he is not going to lie. He is going to come. And we are supposed to looking unto Jesus, just like he's coming right now. Not tomorrow, not day after tomorrow, not 10 years from now. We should be living that he would come anytime. And he wants to come and transform us completely. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit.
Whole spirit.
And soul.
And soul.
And body.
And body.
Be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, now see, this is the God wants your whole being. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. And how you keep them? Blameless. Because Jesus Christ is coming. He is not coming for any church. He is coming for his bride. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, if you read, he says what? That body is without wrinkle, without any spot, without any kind of deformity. That's the kind of church, that's the kind of body he is looking for. So we cannot say, well, my soul is saved and my spirit is saved. There is a one man came here, he goes to another church. He said, you know, my soul is saved, my spirit is saved, but my body is not. So I do drugs, I do smoke, I do anything, but still I'm saved. Doesn't work that way. If you are saved, God wants your whole being, not half part of you. Whole thing, you have to give it to God. That's what we read in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Give your whole body as a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to give my whole being to you. Not like half, 50-50. I want to give total life to Jesus Christ. There are some people say, oh, I'm born again, saved, but I just have a bad habit. What is it? I smoke. But I love God. God loves me.
Yeah.
God hears my prayer. And I know God is good. What I'm trying to say, you are deceiving God, you are deceiving others, and you are deceiving yourself. And pretty soon you are way to hell. But if you don't change it now, it will be too late. This is the time to turn around and say, Lord, enough is enough. I am not totally transformed. I have not given my body to you. I said, come into my heart. But my body is belong to devil. You using your body to smoke, drink, do anything with your body, and you say, okay, what I'll do? When I go to bed, I say, Lord, forgive my sins. And God will forgive. And then I do it again. God knows before you said it. Before you said, God, forgive me, he knew that tomorrow you're going to do the same thing. You don't have to fool God. God knows everything. So once you say it truth. When you say, I am going to change, Lord, come into my heart, I surrender everything to you.
Yes.
Not half part of my body, whole part of my body, whole heart and whole spirit. That's what the word of God says. When you worship God with what? All your mind, all of your heart and all of your strength. He cannot say, Lord, I worship you a little bit, but little bit I do for devil. Little chance for him, little chance for you. Doesn't work that way. You go all the way or you don't go.
Amen.
You cannot have double mind.
True.
I have two girlfriends. I'm going to marry you. Don't worry. I'm going to marry you too. And you are giving that girl a hope and that girl a hope and you became 60, 70 years, you never got married. Why? Because you had no idea how to hold on to one girl or one person and live for that person. You cannot say, I have a devil in one hand and Jesus is in one hand. If Jesus doesn't work, the devil will work. You are in the wrong way.
Amen.
You cannot drive both road in the same time. You have to choose one narrow road.
Yes.
Jesus Christ says, I am the way.
Amen.
When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then all the obstacle will come, but you will have the victory.
Yes.
Amen.
Why Jesus says, you will have trials and tribulations, but what he said, I have overcome the world.
Yes.
So we have to be in the side of the overcomer. We are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Who is the conqueror?
Jesus
Christ. But he says, you are more than a conqueror. Why? Because we followed him.
Yes.
Just like a boxer goes and fights and bleeds and bring the check, give it to wife. Who is greater? The wife sitting there gets the check, he gets the beating. Same made it happen. Jesus bled and died and rose again, and we didn't do anything and we got a paycheck.
Amen.
We got an eternal life. That's why he said, we are more than a conqueror. He is already conquered and he gave it to us. Our God is a good God. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. Chapter 1 verse 6.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
You should be greatly rejoicing for a season. We are living in this world for a short period of time. Comparing to eternity, our life is very short. What are you going to do with your life? Somebody says, oh, I'm too old. But let me tell you, this life, 120, is nothing comparing to eternity.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody comes to me and says, Pastor Piero, why I didn't meet you before? Or why I didn't get saved before? I wasted my time. I said, wait a minute. Whatever the time God has given to us, a remaining time, let us use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Don't sit and say, why I didn't give my life when I was 10 years old. Do it now, because you don't know what the future holds. Whatever the remaining time, give totally your life to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, here I am. If you ask me, I am enjoying my life. Every minute, every second of it.
Yes,
yes.
Trials, tribulation, problem, whatever comes.
Yes, sir.
But I rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is saying, we are here, whatever the time we have, short period, rejoice in this life. Glorify God in this life. Don't think what will happen tomorrow. People sitting in there, what will happen tomorrow? How I'm educating my children? Where the money will come? How I'm going to buy my house? How I'm going to buy my car? How I'm going to live? Let me tell you, when my wife and myself came, to America, not a dime we had in our pocket when we enter into our house, rooms. Whatever the money, we gave it to the taxi driver. We didn't have the money. Today, by the grace of God, we have everything. Why? because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I came here with a purpose. And my own purpose was here to come to America to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and go to uttermost part of the world. Because when I'm in free country, I have no restriction. I cannot go to this country and that country. From India, I was not able to do it. So I'm able to do it from here. So every minute what God has given to me, I rejoice in God. Let's read the word 7 one more time. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 7. Please read.
Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Okay, now the word of God says when the trial of faith comes, don't run away from it. Because when you tried or tested, you're going to be more stronger, you're going to be more precious, you're going to be more experienced in the Word of God. Many people will tell you, you're born again, you're saved, and saved forever. Those people do not want to go trials and problems. You have to keep your faith until when? Until the end. James chapter 1 verse 12, please read, and when you finish that, I'll give another verse. We already studied this book.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Who is the blessed man? Endureth the temptation, and pass the test, then he receives the crown of life. Tell the people who telling you once are saved, saved forever. He says if he doesn't endure, if he doesn't pass his test, is he going to make it?
No.
Is he going to get the eternal life?
No.
Go to the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 10.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Be thou faithful until what? Death. There is no way around. You have to live your life until you die, be faithful to God. Not like a 50% you went and 50% came back. That's not having the trials and temptation pass. You fail. And if somebody failed the Christian life, he's not going to get the crown of life. Tell those people who believe in eternal security. Tell those people you have to go until the end. You have to die for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot say I'm a Christian and the same time I deny Jesus Christ.
No.
You cannot do it. Okay, let's come to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. We're going to finish it.
Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice for joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Some of us, we didn't see Jesus Christ. But do you know what Jesus said to Thomas? Thomas said, I want to see him, and I'm going to put my finger in his hands, and I put my hand in his side, and that I believe. Jesus comes and says, Thomas, come here. Bring your hand here and put it in my hand. Bring your hand and put it in my side. Did Thomas say, yes, I'm going to do it? Some people and some preacher will say he did it. He had no power to reach to Jesus. He fell on his face right there. He says, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
He understood. When last week I talked about this, Jesus was not here. How come he came to know what I said? He has to be God.
Yeah.
That's why he says, my God and my Lord.
Amen.
And he fell on his face. That is the salvation. And then Jesus Christ says, Thomas, you have seen and believed. But the blessed are those people. They did not see me yet. And they still believe. So there are people. Some of us, we never saw Jesus Christ. But we are blessed people. We know his power. We know what Jesus Christ can do. I don't have to see him. I know him because he lives in me.
Amen.
He works through me. I have his power, I have his strength, and I cannot deny Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the word of God is saying, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That means we already born again children of God, and we are waiting for the redemption of our body.
Yes.
And we read the words 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Please read it one more time and we're going to stop here.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Verse 24.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Our God is a good God.
Amen.
He's a faithful God. If you keep your life holy and clean, and if you follow Jesus Christ and stay in the blood of Jesus Christ, he will do it.
Amen.
Shall we rise?
Yes, sir.
Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God.
Yes, Lord.
You called us with a definite high calling.
Yes.
And no turning back.
No turning back.
Lord Jesus, you gave your last drop of blood.
Oh, yes.
You sanctified us.
Yes.
You've given us your own life for us. We give our body, our soul, and our spirit into your hands. Use us mightily for the glory of God. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. Bless each and every one of us. And let us make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And no turning back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.